Acts 9, verse 36 to 43. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of God, I think you know who Tabitha is. Tabitha is the cancer survivor knitting afghans for people going through chemo because she knows how cold it can feel. Tabitha is the woman who shows up at your door with a big pot of stew the day your mom dies and you're confused and in shock. Tabitha is the student teacher who's in an impoverished area of town, who's collecting coats and socks for students who need it. Tabitha is the woman who joins the Nifty Knitters on Thursdays here and makes blankets, sweaters, and clothing for orphans in Zambia, adding each day to the hundreds and thousands that they've made over the years. Tabitha is the young adult knitting hats for babies in the neonatal unit. Tabitha is the 50-something guy who doesn't mind being called a hippie because he's growing his hair long and donating it for wigs for cancer patients. Tabitha is the 20-year volunteer at Habitat for Humanity, helping people find stable living space. Tabitha is the teenage mother in the Philippines who receives $100 in a microloan so she can buy a sewing machine and then eventually winds up paying it back and making money and building a business that employs 20 other vulnerable women. Tabitha is the kind, compassionate, behind-the-scenes, unassuming, salt-of-the-earth, willing worker in the church. You know Tabitha. Your faith has been shaped by Tabitha, by her love, by her concern. We love Tabitha. We are all made better because of her love. That's what the early church experienced too. Okay, next one. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. As the story unfolds, we learn that Tabitha was a seamstress who made robes and clothing for widows, and widows were especially marginalized back then. Not all of them, but many of them. When their husbands died, they lost their identity and their purpose. They became a non-person who had to hope that somebody would marry them, some other man would marry them, or that their son would take care of them. But if she didn't remarry and if she didn't have a son, a widow might end her days on the streets with no support networks. It was a vulnerable experience. But among them, there was Tabitha, who had been transformed by the resurrection power of Jesus. Tabitha created a place for them, a space of love and concern, a network of resources and stability. She used her skills with the first century equivalent of a sewing machine, and she mended and made clothes for them. They were not forgotten. They were not cast off. They were not unseen. She saw them. She valued them. She did things for them. Tabitha brought as much shalom as possible to those on the margins. She was known as Dorcas, a Greek name that means the same thing as Tabitha. Tabitha means gazelle, a beautiful, slender animal. Gazelle, Tabitha. So that means she was known as Dorcas as well, which means she was known among the Gentiles. And she was known for the same things. No matter who you were, Jewish, Gentile, orphan, widow, poor, refugee, Tabitha would do what she could to help you. Tabitha may have been wealthy, like another worker with cloth that we're going to meet in the book of Acts, Lydia. And she might have been wealthy. We're not sure who Tabitha actually was, but we do know this. She used what power she had, her wealth, her skills, her voice, her standing in society for the benefit of those with less power in society, the widows, the hungry, the oppressed, the marginalized, and the overlooked. She was always doing good and helping the poor. Tabitha was also, next one, a disciple. In the Bible, there's only one time that the word disciple is used in the feminine form, used for a woman, and it's here. Except for this one time, the word disciple is a masculine form, and it's used for men. But here it's used to describe Tabitha. She was a disciple. She was a follower of Jesus, a student of Jesus. She was known in her community as someone who loved, who cared, someone who helped because Jesus was in her heart. Her heart was broken by the same things that broke the heart of Jesus. Tabitha was yet another illustration of the transforming power that's been released in the world, the power of resurrection, the power of Jesus. It had changed Paul from this brutal persecutor of the church to a stalwart preacher of Jesus. It had moved Peter to continue the ministry of Jesus through signs and wonders, such as the healing of a paralytic in Lydda, just in the verses just before ours. And it moved Tabitha to small acts with great compassion. It didn't move her into places of power, places of prestige, the spotlight. It moved her to live into Christ's act of emptying himself and becoming a servant. Tabitha was much more than a nice person. She was much more than someone who was kind and generous. The power of Christ's resurrection transformed her so that she fulfilled the requirements of the godly life described in Micah. And I think all the gems who have ever been a gem know this one. What does the Lord require of you? To do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. She did that among people overlooked in society, among nobodies, emptying herself in the form of a servant in the manner of Jesus, who did precisely that, even unto death. That's what disciples do. And the next one. And the shock came when Tabitha suddenly died. The people were beside themselves with grief. They did not know what to do. This isn't supposed to happen to someone like this. This is Tabitha. The shock is evidence that Tabitha wasn't old. If she had lived a rich, full life, if she had come to the end of her years, people would have said, thank the Lord for Tabitha and for her ministry, and they would have had a beautiful service for her. But this shocked them. They said, no, this is not right. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. But as it was, the early church was shocked and they were troubled. And one thing they thought to do was call Peter. Peter was 24 kilometers away in the town of Lydda, about as far as St. Jacob's is from here. And imagine running to St. Jacob's to get him and then bringing him back. They immediately dispatched two men to get him. They placed the body of Tabitha in an upper room and waited for Peter to arrive. They didn't use all the spices and the myrrh and the frankincense on her. They just washed her body. Why did they call Peter to come? I mean, it would have taken 8 hours to go, 4 hours to go there and 4 hours to come back. What did they think he could do? Why the sense of urgency? Maybe they needed someone to preside over a funeral, and why not have the primary bishop come because she was so deserving of that honor? That would be so fitting for Tabitha. Peter, don't move on until you have come to Joppa for this funeral because we need you. Or maybe they had heard of Peter's healing of a paralyzed man in Lydda and thought, well, he's got the power of Jesus in him. He could raise a dead person. Why couldn't Peter do that just like Jesus had? Well, we're not told why they called Peter. They just called him. They just said, he's nearby, get him. We do notice that they didn't ask him to do anything. Just come. Just be near. Just join us in our grief and be a source of compassion and encouragement. I mean, 90% of helping is just showing up. So Peter, just show up. And he did. He showed up. And as soon as he showed up, they gave him a fashion show. This is what Tabitha made for me. This is what Tabitha made for me. Look at this. Isn't this the most beautiful garment you've ever seen? And everyone there had a story about how her life had touched theirs, some selfless act of devotion that she had performed for them. Among the tears of grief and love and gratitude, Peter got the message. This person worked hard for us and blessed us through her acts of compassion. We have lost a true disciple of Jesus who has had a profound impact on our village. Next one. Peter sends everyone out of the room and he prays. He asks for the miracle of resurrection, for restoration to life on earth again. And you'll notice that the words he speaks mirror the words of Jesus in Mark chapter 5 and the raising of Jairus' daughter. A miracle that Peter himself had witnessed. In Mark 5, Jesus says, Talitha kaumi, or in Aramaic, which means, little girl, get up. And here in Acts 9, he says, Tabitha, arise. He doesn't speak Aramaic, so he wouldn't have said kaumi. But with all the authority of Jesus, Peter doesn't ask. He directs. He tells her, get up. And she does. Next one. I wonder why God chose to raise Tabitha from the dead. It wasn't a common practice. Peter was around when Stephen was stoned to death and was not led to pray for resurrection, nor did it happen. And Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power, a man who performed great wonders and signs among the people. Surely he was deserving of resurrection as much as Tabitha. Why didn't God raise Stephen if that power was available to Peter? Don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. But we do know that Peter didn't have a regular ministry of raising people from the dead. It was a power that was given to him once in his ministry, and it was given to him here. This is the only recorded resurrection attributed to Peter. So why did Peter raise Tabitha from the dead? Was it because she was a great teacher that could never be replaced? Was she a huge financial contributor to the church? Was she a miracle worker because she was so full of God's grace and power and performed great wonders and signs? No. She had just done the homely acts of small things done with great love. She had just put a human face on the compassion of Jesus among the people of her village. So why was she raised from the dead? Some commentators say it's because her work was too important to die. Others say it was that God does not want compassion to die in the church. Or as Willie James Jennings says in his commentary on Acts, this woman matters. And the work she does for widows matters to God. It matters so much that God will not allow death the last word. Tabitha is an activist who lives again in resurrection power. And I love that thought. I love the idea that she was such an excellent expression of compassion, of faith, of servanthood, such an asset to the community, such a prime picture of what the church needs to be at its essence. Such a blessing to those who needed blessing, that God raised her from the dead so that she could keep on doing it. I love that. Next one. But the Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say why God raised Tabitha to life again. But we do know that this miracle proclaims the gospel. This miracle says the same thing as the resurrection of Jesus, that death does not have the last word for Christians, that there is something new and powerful on the loose, and the dismal hopelessness of death has been turned around. And even though we may not physically come back to life now, and this is a one-off resurrection miracle, one day, God will raise all of God's children back to life, and nothing in heaven or on earth, not even the last enemy that is death, can finally resist God's loving sovereignty. This miracle is a foretaste of that reality. It's a statement of the gospel. And the Bible does say something about this miracle. It does say what happened as a result. Next one. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. This miracle was given for encouragement. This miracle was given so that people might believe. That's what miracles are for. They're given to us that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ and that there's life in his name. Peter called for all the believers to come and see what happened, especially the widows, especially those who were so totally bereft without Tabitha, who had had the fragile rug they were on pulled out from under them. Look at this. God, whose power is at work among you, has seen your desperate plight and has done something about it. As Beth Skibinski says, next one, is that okay? And then calling the saints and the widows, Peter showed them Tabitha, not the work of her hands, but the work of God's hand, the work of the Spirit to resurrect, to give life, to recreate, to lift up. Peter showed them God's handiwork. Next one. God's handiwork is eternal life. It's eternal life not just in the future, but it's eternal life now. It's life of love and compassion now. It's a life shown here so beautifully in Tabitha. He's made sure that compassion would still mark the church. He's made sure that there would still be hearts and hands to watch out for others. This miracle was for the people of Joppa and for the whole world. And they heard the story, and many believed, and many saw that there was power among these people. that they could not find anywhere else. There was a power that engaged them, that moved them, that transformed them. It was a power through compassion that moved them toward compassion, that moved people to help each other, toward the focused on the people on the margins, that did not overlook anyone. And it was a power that gave life in this world and gave hope of eternal life in the next. In a world of despair and death, where life was cheap, where all you could count on in this life was that it was brutish, miserable, and short, here was something new, something hopeful, something empowering. Here was dignity, worth, value. Here was living compassion, living hope, living faith. And through this miracle, the church saw firsthand the power of Jesus has passed on to the leaders of the church, and that the resurrection was now at work in the life of the communities of believers. As Walter Brueggemann says of this miracle, "Now the whole body of saints and widows attached to the narrative is invited to live that life with her, close to Jesus, agents and recipients of new life." The next one. "And we who come after this story can rely on that same power to transform us. In the power of Jesus, Peter raised Tabitha up and enabled her to keep on going with her acts of compassion and service. He gave oxygen to that counter-narrative, that counter-cultural life of Christ in this world." And Peter showed us that Tabitha's mission is the church's mission. We sometimes struggle to think about what is the mission of the church? What is the mission? What does that look like in our own situation? And some people think that the mission of God's people is to keep the church powerful. They say our mission is to win the culture war by whatever means, and they long for the days when the church had moral sway over the world and influenced proper behavior, and we hear calls to battle for morality and truth against the forces of secularism and relativism, and we're seeing the rise of Christian nationalism, a form of religious nationalism that focuses on promoting the Christian views of its followers in order to achieve prominence or dominance in political, cultural, and social life. It often incorporates racism and ideas to exclude others, particularly with respect to immigration and minority groups. But the story of Tabitha, the resurrected Tabitha, is given to us to show what the mission of the church looks like. Acts of compassion, reaching out to the ones who have less power, who don't have a voice, who are on the margins. Being in community with the little people is still very much the living heart of the mission of Christ in this world. And those who make it their ministry to bless them are very dear to God's loving heart. Let's pray. Oh God, thank you for Tabitha. Thank you for your resurrecting power that made a difference in her life and made a difference in the people around her. Thank you, Lord, for your power that is in us and how it shapes us and how it moves us to others in compassion and encouragement in love. Lord, help us to be your church on that mission, a mission to give voice to those who are voiceless, to give hope to those who are hopeless, to give life to those in despair. Oh Lord, we pray that you would help us in that mission and empower us by that same spirit of resurrection. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.